I feel like Richard. You know, you guys are a long way away, but that's all right. From shade to shade, I guess I'll have to be loud. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. And we're going to stay in Acts 26 all day. You know, this will only be about 5 or 6 hours. We're going to stay in Acts 26 all day. And Pat's going to get in trouble in the sun. That's all right. At least he's right in front of me. Acts chapter 26. You know, I am up to something. And if I was you, I would wonder, you know, like, what is this guy up to? So our title today is, What Am I Up To? Because I am up to something. There is a reason why I'm out here preaching on campus. There is a reason why I would speak in a way that people would know I'm actually talking. There's a reason that I'm here. And you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that, hey, we set forth the truth plainly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not use deception nor distort the word of God, but rather we set forth the truth plainly. And so rather than you wonder, hey, what's this guy up to? Well, what's his agenda? What's his deal? Rather than you wonder that and have to come up with some sort of explanation, I'm going to tell you. What am I up to is our title today. And I'm going to let you know. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is on trial. He goes through a series of trials. This is the one where he's about to go before King Agrippa, who wanted to hear Paul and hear what Paul had to say, at least for a while. And Paul opens his comments to King Agrippa, appealing to King Agrippa to listen to him patiently while he presents his defense. And that's one thing that I would ask, and it's very difficult to get from people. Attention spans are about, I don't know, 30 to 40 seconds. Sometimes people stretch it out to 2 minutes or more. But, you know, there's no way that you can get what you need to get from God if you cannot deny yourself the need to go do something else. You're going to have to listen patiently as the Bible is preached. You're going to have to listen patiently as Paul presents his defense, which is really no defense at all, but that's awesome that he puts it that way. And you're going to have to listen patiently in order to know what I'm up to, because I am up to something. And your inclinations that God gives you are right. I am up to something. Four, I want you to know, you know, I may play basketball with you. I may go to lunch or breakfast with you. I may talk to you about a movie. You know, I may walk along and talk to you about how your classes are going. And I might talk to you about the fact that the Lakers are going out in 4 straight. And I'll talk to you about a number of things. But today I'm going to tell you what I'm up to. And it doesn't matter what I talk to you about or what we do. We can go, you know, race go-karts, and I'll try to bump you off the track. You know, what was that all about? I am up to something. And I want you to know that no matter what I do, this is what I'm up to. In Acts 26, Paul has explained his conversion to Christ. And in verse 19, he says, So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. All right, the first thing I am up to is the fact that though I do not deserve it, and though I'm hardly qualified to have it, and though I never would have dreamed it possible, the fact is that I am in possession of a vision from heaven, and what I am up to is not to be disobedient to it. All right? There are a number of things that go along with that. You're going to hang in. And if you can't hang in, amen, you don't get an answer to our title question today, and you get to go on and bumble and stumble through life. But if you can hang in, you will not only know what I'm up to, for that's really of small consequence. It really doesn't matter what I'm up to, though I'll tell you today. What I'm going to essentially let you know is what God is up to. And that really, really does matter. I'm going to share my own life as Paul shared his, and come clean and set forth the truth plainly. That's fine. But ultimately what you're going to get out of it is what God is up to and what Jesus' disciples are up to, and that you need to know. For you are not going to know who's who and what's what and where's where and which way is up if you don't know the answer to that question. And that question will come from the scriptures today, and Paul says, hey, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Essentially, King Agrippa, my defense is the fact that God showed me something and I did not pretend that he didn't show me. The fact is, what I'm up to is that God showed me something, and I'm not going to pretend with you that I don't know what I do know. And that's what I'm up to. And I'm up to letting you know what that is. I am up to letting you know what the deal is. I'm up to letting you know and not pretending like I don't know, because I do. I don't deserve to know. I'm hardly qualified to know. You know, in many instances, my brothers would attest to this, it's a lot easier most times not to have known. But the fact is, the disciples of Jesus and me among them have a choice. And that is, you get a vision from heaven, an understanding from God, insight from the Holy Spirit, and you have a choice before God. Obey it, disobey it. Pick. Are you going to obey it or disobey it? Up to you. And Paul is telling King Agrippa, essentially, King, I am on trial before you today because I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. And if you never end up on trial, and you never end up in trouble, and you never end up persecuted by men, particularly religious men, rest assured, it is because either you don't have a vision from heaven, or if you ever did have one, you were disobedient to it. For the only defense of a disciple, the only defense of a disciple is, I actually believe the Bible. I'm sorry it upsets you so much. I'm sorry that I don't water it down like you do. I'm sorry that I don't pretend not to know what I do know. I'm sorry, but the fact is, my only defense is that I actually believe the Bible. If I get shot for that, I guess I get shot for that. If I get hated, I guess I get hated. If I get scorned and disowned and betrayed and slandered, I guess I get those things. But the fact is, the only defense I have to offer, the only defense Paul really offers as we get to it in verse 19, is that I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. You know, most people never get a vision from heaven. God never gives them an insight because they don't earnestly seek God, and God doesn't throw it around like candy. And then you take the very, 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 very small percentage. Hey, Noah, there were seven others, eight out of millions. I think those are the numbers we're looking at. Millions perish, eight survive. Certainly Peter uses that analogy when talking about the kingdom. I think those numbers are applicable. It's a very, very small percentage, eight out of millions. You do the math. But out of those who actually do get it, another very, very small percentage are obedient to it. So it's like, okay, I got eight out of several million shot at it, and then once I got that step down, I've got a very another low percentage. For even the parable of the sower, Jesus says time and again, 75% of those people didn't even make it. Jesus preached to crowds of thousands, and at the end of the day, the believers total, after 3 years of ministry, miracles and everything else, and thousands here and thousands there, and large crowds traveling with him, pack up the suitcases and let's go. When all is said and done, there are 120 who believe it. And how many of those stay faithful to the end? I don't know, but the numbers are bad. What am I up to? Look, I have a vision from heaven, and I'm not disobedient to it. And I'm up to letting you know what it is. That's what I'm up to. All right? There's more to it. We'll go on. But if you ever wonder, what did he mean by that? Well, what really is he after here? I have a vision from heaven. I'm going to let it be known to you. That's it. I mean, I'd be exhausted trying to do the math beyond that. Verse 20. Paul goes on, he says, first, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. What am I up to? I don't like to end things with a preposition. Michael, you're an English major. That's not good. I'm just trying to talk straight and real with you, though. What are you up to? We talk like that. Hey, that's why I say that. You know, but look, what am I up to? I join the Apostle Paul in saying, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I'll have you know. First to those in law school with me, then to those in a quote-unquote church with me, then to those I knew in my hometown, then to those I knew out throughout my whole life, and then to the established quote-unquote churches throughout different cities in all the land, to the gutter wretches, to the prostitutes, to the greedy, I preached. What was that all about? I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. I am simply up to the fact, look, you people need what I have. How else will you know that if I don't preach it to you? The Bible is clear. There's no other way for you to understand it. The Bible is clear. There's no other way for you to get it. Sitting here like, oh, mum's the word, wouldn't want to offend anybody, isn't going to get it done. Paul says, look, for Paul it was immediately. First to those, in Damascus. That's where he's blinded. Bah, can't see. Converted. All of a sudden, hey, who's around me? You need to repent. You need to turn to God. Do you know that? This guy was killing Christians not long ago. First to those in Damascus. Then, boom, I'm sure, booted out of town. We won't have that here. Oh, I'm sure you won't. On to Jerusalem. I'm going to go back to those religious pretenders who don't know they're pretenders. I'm going to go back and learn another deal. Boom! That didn't go well. Out of Jerusalem. All Judea, certainly the surrounding countryside will know. What are you up to, Paul? You're a lunatic. No. I am just not like you. I'm not disobedient to the vision from heaven. And to all Judea, this town and that countryside and over here, it's a whole region. Don't limit it to one city. And to the Gentiles also, man alive, nobody wants it. Religious people don't want it. They think they have it. They have no room for the truth. Fine, give me some gutter people. Give me a prostitute, a liar, a thief, a jailbird. Give me someone who hates. Give me someone who's drugged out and alcohol. Give me someone destitute and down and out. Look, you leave nobody out. What am I up to? Taking the message from God to everybody. What in the world are you up to? Well, I got class. You know, I got in trouble in class when I became a disciple. I took two religion courses. I was a baby disciple, and I don't think I bounced this off Michael to see that this was a bad idea. And I was allowed to take two religion courses, and I nearly flunked them both. Nearly. Almost did not get out of Duke Law School because of a level 111 and a 211 religion classes. 111 and 211. Professor saying, you can't write on 2 Timothy for the class Paul and his letters because Paul didn't write 2 Timothy. I'm going to flunk. 2 Timothy starts. 2 Timothy 1. Paul. Oh. I'm done. I guess I'll go to the Gentiles. Yes. Anyway, I don't know what you're up to, and I don't know what trouble you're getting into, and I don't know why you're not brought before King Agrippa. Well, the fact is I do know, and the fact is you are not obedient to the vision from heaven, because one, either you don't have it, or two, you're disobedient to it. And the second is actually worse than the first. So Paul says, that's what I'm up to. I'm just trying to give people what I have. Repent and turn to God. Yeah, yeah, Paul, thanks for the message. Ah, so encouraging. I'm so encouraged whenever you visit. And prove your repentance by your deeds, not your encouraging tongue. I want to see it. You know, it is okay for a basketball coach to call a timeout, get out on the court, and get in the face of his players and say, I need to see on the court. But for some reason, it's not okay for a man with a vision from heaven to get in your grill and let you have it. Sorry. What am I up to? I have a vision from heaven that is more important than X's and O's in the NCAA tournament. You got to be kidding me. I don't want to hear how encouraged you are. I want to see you repent, you weasel, you wimp. I want to see you repent, you secretive, in the dark, unopened, sinful wretch that God is trying to show you something. I want to see you repent, you religious person who is powerless in every way. And he preached the same message to everybody. Don't tell me, wow, that was really incredible. I want to see repentance proven by deeds. You have to do it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm so sick of hearing about it. You know, that religious person came up to Jesus and said, hey, you know, what do I need to do? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and Jesus asked him a question. He answered it. And Jesus said, all right, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. And Jesus left the scene. Well, I don't really want to hear it anymore. I have a vision from heaven that if you get it, will bring repentance in your life. And I know you didn't get it because it didn't bring repentance. And in many cases, I think the honest answer is that where I am obedient to the vision from heaven, you are disobedient to it. And I've seen so many people see what I've seen, understand what I understand. God will give you understanding. It's not like I'm divvying it out. And then disobey it. And what I'm up to is to give you simply a chance to have it. And you can do with it what you want to do with it. That's what's so awesome. See, I'm not the management team of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to give you the truth and then manage it for you like some sort of property manager. I'm going to give you the truth and you get to do with it what you want to do with it. All the while, well, if you hang out with me, I continue to give you the truth. That's what I'm up to. I'm turning myself in today in accordance with the scriptures. Paul turning himself in today. And rest assured, Paul is preaching to people who he's trying to convert, and so am I. Verse 21. After preaching to all these people in these different cities and regions, and calling people to repent, turn to God, and prove repentance by their deeds. See, we could spend all day there, couldn't we? Paul says in verse 21 of Acts 26, that is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. The reason that doesn't happen to you, you're not obedient to the vision from heaven. Because the question is a great one, isn't it? What is this Paul up to? Trent, what are you up to? I mean, who in their right mind would leave the air conditioning of home, drive 45 minutes, pay several tolls, come out here on the grass of UCF where nobody listens, rant and rave, lose your voice, pack up, and go home only to come back and do it all over again? What is your deal? What do you want out of this? I've already told you. the fact is, that's why we get in trouble. And we'll always be in trouble. You know, and actually, you know, like the church in Acts, there are times when the church gets to enjoy a time of peace. And we're all kind of amazed that we can do whatever we want out here. And that we don't get messed with at all. You know, we see false teachers out here getting messed with all the time. But we know that Satan has got to orchestrate a better army to deal with us. And he will. And that'll be all right. And that'll happen not because we're up to something or we're doing something wrong, but because, like Paul, we're simply being obedient to the vision. Verse 22. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. Yeah, you know, it's so awesome to pour it out and to get God's help to this very day. For I and my brothers are beyond the repair availability of men. Richard, can you imagine? Your spiritual life depends on me making all the right calls in your life. Well, you'd be dead and gone long ago. Michael, you're going to count on me. Well, I hope he answers the phone. I hope. Look, a lot of people trust in men, and you've got the curses to prove it. Jeremiah 17, you can look it up. But I have had God's help to this very day. It's like God has brought me to this day. There's so many times I've wanted to pretend I did not see what I did see. There's so many times I want to say, maybe I was just vulnerable at a time in my life where I would have believed maybe even if Buddha came. Maybe. You know, but the scriptures and God's help to this very day make it clear. You saw what you saw. You understand what you understood. You have what you have. Say it. And it takes God's help to keep you from giving it up. What am I up to? Hey, I'm up to what God allows me to be up to. I'm actually up for more torture, more persecution, more slander, more betrayal. Hey, we get betrayed and slandered all the time, and I have to let my household know at the time it happens. I say, hey, this is our life. This will always be the case. And we will never make decisions in order to bring the slander down to a palatable level. We will never make decisions in order to bring the persecution and the hardships and the heartache down to workable levels. It'll never happen. Why? Because I, like Paul, am up to something, and that is to tell you the truth. And I expect, like Paul expected, and I get like Paul got, God's help to this very day to be able to continue to do it. But most of you have the help of men, and that's why you do nothing. Most of you have the help of men, and that's why God is taking convictions away from you, lest the world be confused that men can help men have this. And check it out. With every verse, I don't know if you get a sense of it, we're kind of building to something. Beneath all of this explanation of himself is a sort of building tidal wave that's about to come. I'm giving it away here, but hang on. It's about to come crashing down on King Agrippa. Because with every verse, Paul is like fanning and God is winding into a crescendo what is going to build into a tidal wave to give King Agrippa his chance, which is all I'm up to. I have no agenda other than to give you your chance. Do what you want with it. I don't even have the machinery in my head. I don't even have the thought pattern in my head of what it would take to come up with another additional agenda. I can't even think that way by the grace of God. And we know he's going to make a run at King Agrippa because he says in the middle of verse 22, And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. The fan club of King Agrippa. The fan club of Wifey Pooh Bernice. The small and the great
King Agrippa.
And I am saying nothing, Paul says. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That's the awesome thing. See, it's like if people have a problem with me, I'm like, do you realize that I am saying what the Bible says, and I'm saying nothing beyond it? Where's the agenda in that? And Paul's saying, look, I'm in all kinds of trouble. The Jews seized me that day. I have that experience with religious people. I've often been seized by religious people. It makes a great photograph for the Who's Who collection. Who's who in this picture? A person being seized by the well-paid religious folk. That's pretty easy. I think my first grader daughter could easily get that. Says, I'm not saying anything beyond what Moses and the prophets said would happen. I have no agenda beyond the prophets. I have no agenda beyond the Bible. I have no agenda beyond God's agenda. I just happen to be obedient to it. And that's why you never hear it, because most people are not. Verse 23. And what did prophets and Moses say would happen? Verse 23, that the Christ would suffer. And as the first arise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. What am I up to? I'm just proclaiming light to you. I'm actually, you know, in those deep, dark crevices of your life, when you go to bed at night, or you're driving in your car, or you go for a walk, and you get no peace of mind, and you're like, man, what's the deal? It's like summer school, new semester, blah, blah, graduation, gotta get a job. And you're like, sheesh, that's a deal. I'm just trying to proclaim light to you so you can see what the deal is. The deal is not so hard. If you turn the lights on, well, I know what it's like to live in the dark, and the deal is impossible. I'm like, I just take 40 vacations, I guess, in the middle of school. I don't know what else to try. It's so dark over here, I can't see. I'll give that a whirl, see if that works. And everyone tries what they try, and Paul's saying, look, the prophet said it, Moses said it, I say it. That's all. That Christ would suffer, rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. The same for everybody. Uh-oh. Whoops. Someone is getting hot under the collar. And it's Festus. Now, Festus has already tried Paul. He held him over and let him go to King Agrippa just to hear him. But Festus has had enough. Verse 24. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul! Exclamation point. He shouted, your great learning is driving you insane! That is just so wonderful. Oh, man, that's just classic. And I love how the Bible stays true to what Paul said he was doing. Festus interrupted Paul's defense. And the fact that his defense is... his only defense is that he was given a vision from heaven, and as he got a vision from heaven, he was obedient to it. And that's his defense. What a pathetic defense that is. I wasn't even on the scene of the crime, Judge, is a better defense. I wouldn't even think of such something. Here are my character witnesses. I mean, that's a defense. Paul's offering no defense at all, other than the fact that, hey, I believe this stuff. And what am I up to? you know, I believe this stuff. I know what it says. Well, that's what I'm up to. I'm up to what someone who actually read it and believed it would be up to. Is that all right?
That is not all right.
You're out of your mind, Paul. Nobody is this crazy. Trey, you're crazy. You need to simmer it down. You need to calm down. I've had even my own brothers and sisters and family tell me, you have got to calm down. You've got to settle down. You've got to slow down. You are taking it too far. It's too much.
Serenity now.
And you know, the fact is that it is the Bible. And that the people who have those reactions are the lost. Festus, clueless in every way, telling Paul, you're out of your mind, Paul. Festus couldn't take it anymore. He had to cure Paul. Paul, insanity has overtaken your life. You're crazy. That's the problem. It's not that you believe the Bible. It's not that you're obedient from the vision from heaven. It's not that you got the vision from heaven. You're crazy. I love that so much. There's such great fellowship in it. The fact that this is a crazy thing to do. This is not something man made up. This is not something that I would ever imagined doing. You know, in the world, I would never read the Bible because I'd really almost be too embarrassed to be caught reading the Bible. And that's amazing, because now it is everything. And you know, I could imagine in the world standing up here and talking to people about Federal Reserve policy or whether Syria is next on the list. And I would have never imagined up here doing this. But the only thing I'm up to is the obedience to the vision from heaven. And that, in fact, looks crazy. And you have to wonder, why is this person doing this? Why do they keep doing it? They're not getting anywhere with it. It certainly is crazy. But you need to understand, as you take that approach, that you're like Festus, a politician with no relationship with God, with your own agenda, your own wants, your own desires. And if I was to ask you, what are you up to? Boy, you'd have 1,000 things to tell me. And the reality is I only have one thing to tell you, and I'm up to letting you know what I know, period. End of paragraph, end of book. What are you up to? Well, that's a laundry list. You're up to a lot, and for a lot of reasons. And you, like Festus, think that the simplicity that I have is insane. Your great learning is driving you insane, Festus says. You got to explain it somehow. But you know, Paul wasn't yet picking this fight completely. And Festus picked it. Whoops. And now Paul has fair game, free rein, to be able to say what he has to say. Verse 25. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. It's so awesome that Paul would call Festus most excellent Festus. You know, he's not picking on Festus. I'm sure Paul knew and was convinced that
Festus is a far better man than Paul. I have no problem regarding anybody as most excellent. You're far better than I am. And Paul simply says, I am not insane. And that's one possibility. You know, what is this guy up to? What are the possibilities? Aha, he's getting paid. Aha, he's guilt-ridden and he has to do stuff to make God like him. Aha, he's insane. Well, those are possibilities. Oh no, Festus, I'm not insane. It's not my insanity that brought me to this. It's not the fact that I've gone crazy why I do this. It's not the fact that I've just gotten confused, took a wrong turn somewhere along, and ended up here that I do this. I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is true and reasonable. Look, I'm up to it. And you know it. See, because I know that God has revealed it. Now, some of you have got a seared conscience. You may not realize it today. You may tomorrow or the next day. But what the Bible is teaching is true and reasonable. And you know it to be true because you have tried everything else. Haven't you? Oh, yes. And you're like, wow, simplicity? You gotta be kidding. Is that available? Oneness? Is that a possibility? It is true. What is true, what the Bible proclaims and what Paul proclaimed is, look, we are powerless to stop doing what we want to stop doing. And we are powerless to do what we know we ought to do. That is true, or you'd be doing it. And you must, in fact, acknowledge that it is true. And Paul's defense is not to explain he had a rough childhood. Paul's defense is not to explain that he comes from a different region of a different country at a different time and things are different. No. Paul takes on the challenge of, Paul, you're insane. It's why you do it. With the defense of, what I am saying, Festus, is true and reasonable. Reasonable. Reasonable? Getting up here is reasonable? Oh, yes. You know, there are so many people who fall asleep on their couch watching TV. You call that reasonable? You have a bed and you fall asleep night after night watching TV on the couch. You call that reasonable? There are people who do not have to work, who are either retired or financially well off, who do not need to work, and they worry. And you call that reasonable? Look, what is being preached and what we are up to is simply proclaiming the vision from heaven that if you can sit still for half a second, you will realize is true and is reasonable. Look at all the unreasonable avenues you've taken. None of them have worked. And yet, even things that don't work, we'll try again and again and again. And you're calling me crazy? Men will say, you know, I just need to go get with another woman. You're calling me crazy? Families will say, hey, look, we just need a vacation. None of that solves anything, and you're calling me crazy? I just need to get high. And I'm crazy? Drunkenness one more time. And I'm crazy? I've tried drunkenness. It doesn't work, does it? No. I've tried sexual immorality. It doesn't work, does it?
No, 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 no.
And I dare say I've tried more vacations than most of you. You know, to the tune of $250,000 in student loans, that's a lot of vacation. And that didn't work. No, no, no. So your little trip to the Hamptons isn't going to work either. Now, verse 26. Paul goes on, having dusted Festus and giving him a chance, the king! Uh-oh. Yeah, you know, I'm going to get personal with you. You get with me and you wonder what I'm up to, I'm coming after you to make you a disciple of Jesus. Don't be confused. You know, I'll guard you when we play basketball. I'll try not to foul you. And I'll high-five and all that. My goal is to make you a disciple of Jesus. My goal is not to appeal to you that, hey, this is a really fun place to play basketball. Oh, please. It's not really. My goal is to make you a disciple of Jesus. My goal is to make you what I am. My goal is to show you the vision from heaven that you may obey it as well. That's all. That's Paul's goal. He's not wasting any time. Fine. I've preached to Festus, verse 26, the king. The king is familiar with these things. And I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. Look, I'm going to speak freely to you because I know that what God has done in your life, and I know that the truth and reasonableness of the Bible was not done in a corner, but is plain to see, and I'm going to talk to you like it's plain for you to see. I don't have some charade. I don't have some gimmick. I don't have some 12-step program. I don't have some little classes. I don't have some little checklist. I don't have some... Look, I'm going to speak freely to you. What am I up to? I'm up to make you a disciple. And that means I better get busy on speaking freely to you. You need to have what I have. I'm going to tell you freely and plainly. It was not done in a corner. What you need to know is not hidden. What you need to know and what I can bring to your attention was not around the corner, up the street, and hidden off to where I have to explain it too hard. Look, the king was familiar with these things, and Paul says, even though he's a king, and even though he can intercede here and call for my death, I will speak freely to him. And that's what we're up to. My brothers who want to join me in being obedient to the vision from heaven can join me in speaking freely to the people what is true and reasonable. Stop hemming and hawing, brothers. Stop umming and excuse me, brothers. Say it the way it is. Speak freely. Go for it. Be clear. You need to be a disciple of Jesus, period. Here I come. What are you up to? Oh, I think it's clear by now. And Paul is going after King Agrippa and picks him up in verse 27. King Agrippa, Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Man, that's powerful. See, I know that you believe what is being preached. You just are a disobedient person about it. Period. Paul knew that King Agrippa believed the Bible. Paul knew that King Agrippa understood it. Paul knew that King Agrippa got it, saw it, could have it. Paul knew it and proclaimed it just like we do. What am I up to? I am up to letting you know that I know what you know. And that gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because you don't have anyone else in your life who knows you know what you know. Rewind and go back if that's too much for you. But you don't have anyone else in your life who will stand up to the fact and obey the fact that they know what you know about yourself and proclaim it to you. That's what I'm up to. I'm up to calling you to account for what God has revealed to you, as small as it may be. And for most people, let's be honest, the only thing God has revealed so far to most of us is that we are wrong. The only thing that God has really revealed to most of us, people in the world, the only thing really when I was in the world, 25 years old, the only thing that God had really revealed to me, to be honest with you, that was biblical, was the fact that I was clearly in the wrong. That I clearly did not know what I was doing because I was clearly wrong about the things I did know. That's all. And I can proclaim that to anybody, King Agrippa, small and great alike. That's what Paul proclaimed, and that's what I'm up to. I'm just up to letting you know that God knows, and hey, I know for what it's worth, that you're trying to get away with stuff, and God isn't having it. And the fact that God's not having it is demonstrated in the powerlessness of your life, which is a life without God. And Paul said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Man! Talk about throwing a flaming arrow right under the seat of King Agrippa. Boom! It's like, yikes! King Agrippa just wanted to hear Paul. Kind of like entertainment, a novelty, a little something. I'd be curious to hear this guy. I'd be interested in hearing him. And all of a sudden, boom! King Agrippa has a fire under his seat. Do you believe the prophets, King Agrippa, in front of Festus, in front of Bernice, in front of great and small alike? Do you believe the Bible? I know you do. Paul is up to letting him know that. King Agrippa responds in verse 28. And this is how people do respond. With a firestorm around them. With a fire under their pants. It's like, how are you going to deal with that? Then King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Isn't that awesome? You know, King Agrippa, like most people, hey, you know, I'm short on time here. I'm passing through. I got a full load of class. I'm working. I got to get, my friend had a family got to go down south. I get it. Despite the fact that God has demonstrated to you the deal, and despite the fact that God has brought someone to proclaim the deal clearly to you in terms you understand and in terms you'll have to account for, despite those facts, you're pressed for time. To go do what? Oh, a bunch of meaningless stuff. And who's the insane one? Now, come on, Festus. Why aren't you busting on King Agrippa? You're out of your mind, King Agrippa. You believe this stuff and you're in a hurry? I'm simply up to giving you a chance. Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Yeah, I do. That's why I do what I do. King Agrippa, I believe that you have bumbled and stumbled. That's how I joined the club. We're all a bunch of bumblers and stumblers. But I believe, King Agrippa, that you have bumbled and stumbled your way into the truth as to what Paul's defense is. That Paul is on trial to make you a Christian. Paul is on trial to make you and Festus, to the great and the small alike, disciples of Jesus. I think you've got something there, King. I think you've got it now. Do you think, you know, it's kind of dawning on King Agrippa. Well, what kind of defense is this? Do you think that in such a short time, you can persuade me to be a Christian? Hey, now you know what I'm up to. What are you up to, Pat? I'm up to make you a Christian. I'm up to make you a disciple of Jesus. That's all? Imagine, brother, coming up with another addendum or something. See, is that all? I've never had to think this hard. Yeah, that's all. Please, don't make me blow a gasket thinking about what else to do. I am up to what Paul was up to. Paul is up to what Jesus was up to. Jesus, as he taught, was up to what God was up to. And that is to make you disciples of Jesus. And ultimately, I have no plan, goal, or anything other than that. Acts 26, verse 29. King Agrippa pressed for time. Paul replied, verse 29, Paul replied, short time or long. This is so awesome. Pat only took a year. Hey, man, whatever. Papa's blowing your record away, by the way. And he's trying to put it out of reach. Get that thing out there. Paul's answer, oh, short time or long, I pray, God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Paul, what are you up to? I am up to make all who are listening to me today what I am, except for these chains. That's my whole purpose. Why are you in prison? Why are you persecuted here? Why are you on trial here? Why are you on your way to Caesar? Why are you locked up? Why are you in trouble? Why are people grabbing you? Because I pray, God, that all who are listening to me today to become what I am. That is what I'm up to, is to make disciples of Jesus, period. No middle game, no post game. That's it. Make disciples of Jesus, period. Short time or long. Okay, you can drag this thing out. You can stop. I'm not moving from this spot. I think I've heard enough and I've done enough. And our one objective and our one goal stands firm with God's, short time or long. Tick tock, tick tock. There's one goal. And that is that you become what we are. That you have what we have. That you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That you become what the Bible would call a Christian. Certainly not what the world would call a Christian. And that's it. And that's short time or long. Isn't it awesome and freeing not to be in a hurry? I often even have to tell my brothers, what are you in such a hurry about? People are in a hurry. Where are you going so fast? Short time or long? Hey, there's no pressure, King Agrippa. You know, when you're on your way out with Bernice and on the road back and you have an empty conversation, Bernice says, oh, honey, I'm going to take a nap. What she really means is we have nothing to talk about. You just keep living your little life, and short time or long, you can always come back and do this thing that you already believe. And that's what we're up to. Okay? Let's say we study the Bible with you, and we study the Bible for a little while, and then you quit studying the Bible. And maybe 3 years go by. Hey, short time or long, our goal for you is the same. You don't have to call back wondering if we've changed. I mean, we're down to one objective. It's the only objective of the Bible. I think we're locked down for a while. We can add to that? Well, let's put some other stuff. We get a good choir and stuff. Wouldn't that be cool? No. Well, you know, if we get a sports team or something, that'd be awesome. Please don't make me put together a sports team. We have one objective for you, and it's not to recruit you as the point guard. One objective, short time or long, is to make you a disciple. And that is what I'm up to. That is what we are up to. That is what Paul was up to. Verse 30 happens, and that's okay. The king rose, and with him the governor, and Bernice, and those sitting with them. Goodbye, Paul. We've heard enough. Thank you. Off to Rome you go. Now, I can't do anything about that. That's always what happens, though, right, Mila? Yeah. That's pretty much how it always goes. Pretty much always. Almost. Very rarely, someone becomes a disciple. For most, it's like, okay, I've heard enough. Thank you. Goodbye. People even give Bibles back to Pat. Here's your Bible. I won't be needing that. Well, you know, I can't do anything about that. But we have faithfully and fully discharged the duties of our ministry in being obedient to the vision from heaven, sharing that vision with you, and simply giving you a chance. Great and small alike, short time or long, to become what we are, disciples of Jesus. And what you do with that chance is ultimately up to you. It's not even something I'm very interested in managing or even interested in commenting about. What you do with that chance is fully up to you. And I have neither the authority nor even the inclination, by the grace of God, to get involved with what you do with it. Oh, I pray hard for you that you will get it, love it, accept it, and obey it. Amen. But it's out of my hands at that point. And as is always the case, almost always, unless you have a disciple on your hands, people get up, people leave, and that's that. But they will always know, as God told Ezekiel, hey, you say it, and they'll know a prophet has been among them. It's like, Paul, you said it, and I'm sure Agrippa left with his crew thinking, man, no one has ever dealt with me like that. Whew! Good to get out of there. Yikes! That guy addressed me personally. I'm not even sure that's allowed. Let's look up the law on that. Amen. We're up to making you a disciple. No secrets. Let it be plain to you. I'll bang you around on the go-kart track. I'll drop threes on you playing basketball. You know, I'll hug you and rough you up. I just want you to have what I am and have what I have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for one purpose. Thank you so much for one purpose. Wow, we save so much mental energy. We save so much futility of thinking, and we're spared so much by having one purpose. We thank you for it. We could have never narrowed our life down to one purpose. Father, we just ran and ran and ran trying to get our needs met, and now with them fully met in Christ, we're down to one purpose. With eternal life and heaven and the Holy Spirit and life with Christ and our own room and forever with you sealed away by the Holy Spirit, we now serve you and try to help other people have what we have. That could never be orchestrated by men. We thank you so much for it. Father, I pray that our message is not veiled to people, that we are plain and clear, that we don't stutter or mumble, but we let them know plainly that we want them to have what we have and be what we are. And that's the only thing to be, a disciple of Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for getting us back on this campus. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to lay it out the way Paul laid it out to King Agrippa and to be okay with the results when nobody listens. Father, it is really awesome to find ourselves in the Bible and fellowship with what we read about. It truly lets us know that we have really bumbled and stumbled onto the treasure in the field that is the kingdom of God. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.